Radio Gorgeous, the place to find authors.
Welcome to Radio Gorgeous, Laura Kay, author of English Animals.
Thank you very much. Very excited to be here.
Tell us in your words the story, without giving away any juicy details of plot, of English Animals.
Okay, so it's the story, it's told through the first person of a young woman called Mirka, who comes from Slovakia. And she comes to the UK and we meet her as she's travelling down to a rural country house in a kind of unspecified place in England to be an assistant to a couple who own the house and do a variety of things like running weddings, shooting and B&B. And she's going to sort of, she's been working in London and it's been pretty awful. And so she kind of is doing this as a kind of different thing. So she comes down, she arrives at the house and then finds that the couple are just this kind of quite eccentric, chaotic, boozy couple with a sort of slightly fractious marriage. And she sort of realizes she's in the middle of it. The husband is a taxidermist, Richard, and she becomes his assistant and learns to become a taxidermist herself and becomes an artist. Meanwhile, the wife, Sophie, is a kind of no-nonsense English sort of country wife. Their house is kind of quite dirty. And we then find out that Mirka is gay, and Mirka then begins to realize that she has feelings for Sophie. I don't want to give too much more away, but there's, I'm not spoiling too much, but there's a few sort of characters that are involved. There's the gamekeeper, there's a sort of local busybody, and then there's Sophie's father, who is a very, very old school, let's say, kind of English type of man who has some not always very nice views. And so they have an affair and it's sort of very complicated. And I think that's probably as far as I can go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's the first Brexit novel.
Well, I think Ali Smith actually might have picked me to the post. I haven't read Autumn, but everyone described that as the first Brexit novel. But I did write it, I started it 4 years ago and finished it 3 years ago, way before I'd even heard of a referendum. So, but there are mentions of it. There are specific mentions of the EU. And I did write it because of the sorts of people that I was surrounded by in the place where I come from, who have always voiced their dislike of the EU and often specific. Sometimes it's to do with sovereignty and this kind of weird sort of idea of English sovereignty, but a lot of it is to do with immigration as well. And that's why I, even though I wanted to choose to talk about this kind of world and the sort of prejudices that exist, that's why I chose to do it through the eyes of a person coming from Europe.
And also it's easier to see your own culture or a culture or anything from the outside.
Yes.
Know? And so that's, she has an unjaded and an unprejudiced view of what she's experiencing and what she's stepping into.
Yes, I think I realized it was going to be a way of defamiliarizing my world, as it were, through the eyes of someone who didn't understand it, and therefore that would render it more exotic. And I wanted, one of the things that I do in the book is keep Mirka's perspective very plain and her language very plain. And she's not naive, or I mean, she's incredibly bright and, you know, moral and things, but I think through her eyes you see the kind of sometimes sort of almost like slightly deformed nature of, so I was deliberately kind of exoticizing it through this simple voice.
Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I loved it for all of those things that are very psychic, like taxidermy, which I've done, you know, is very, you know, it's all brought down to East London and whatever. And there is a lot of taxidermy in East London. You know, so it does exoticize the familiar and also demystifies it in a weird way as well. because for me, there was a book called Foxes, and sort of really getting into, and just that one subject can really expose the English character and the English debate, and country mouse versus city mouse, and all of those things. And all of those things really do get exoticized through America, but for me, demystified in a nice way as well, and in a humorous way as well. And yes, and I did think it was very funny that the character of the father lives in France. I imagine that was purposeful.
That was definitely purposeful. It's this staunchly Brexit, pro-Brexit person and lives in France. And I just find all that hypocrisy about the EU and, you know, William loves European culture. You know, he's all about the art, but sort of maybe the more like French and Italian. And then when it comes to Eastern Europe, it's like, oh. And that kind of, just those sort of things that are subtle, but really horrible and insidious. I enjoyed writing him a lot, I think, for that reason.
She inhabits a very, and I think you captured quite well, the sort of the fine line of discomfort and unease in our own opinions, and also her role in the house is this very awkward, uneasy thing. She's the help, but not in a traditional sense. She becomes very friendly and obviously lovers with one of the couple. But she does, you know, it's like when she's the help when it's convenient, she's the friend when it's convenient. She is sort of at the whim of them.
Yeah, I think that's very good way of putting it. And I think she is more, I don't know, it is muddy, and they do become more and more to need her. And I think she becomes the thing that sort of holds them together as well. But yes, it is very uneasy. And I think how different her role is showed up when William turns up, because he is sort of saying, why isn't she sort of scrubbing the car, you know, the floor? And, you know, he doesn't really understand that the way that she's brought in is not quite a help. But I think Sophie needs her. You know, Sophie especially is really lonely. Yeah.
Tell me about Richard.
Well, Richard, again, I really like Richard as a character. He's definitely not always a good character. He's not always a good man, but I'm quite fond of him. I think he's quite funny, and I do like him. And I think he does try to be nice to Mirka. You know, I think he really does want to be, but the circumstances are difficult. And I think, yeah, a lot of the book is about gender, and has a sort of type of masculinity, and he talks about being in the army. There's certain things that are he's quite a troubled sort of guy.
Radio Gorgeous.
Yeah, it felt to me that a lot of the English characters, well, I think Sophie and Richard in particular, who I think represent a lot of us, that are, you know, mostly good people, but when push comes to shove, lazy and self-serving.
Yeah, I think
there's a fattiness there, yeah, in their moral fiber.
Definitely. And they're very exactly their self. They're a bit toxic in the end, really. Exactly how you said it. They are fun and nice and in other ways, but at the end, yeah, there's something quite toxic about them and their marriage.
And where does Mirka come from in you creating her?
Well, she is based, I got the idea from, I was writing this character Sophie in many ways. I think I just wanted to write something in this kind of rural setting, and then I went on a lot of dates when sort of in my earlier 30s, and I met quite a lot of interesting people who gave me two sides of the story. One, I met a girl who was married to quite a wealthy guy, and they lived in a country house, but she secretly knew she was gay and, you know, didn't, like, was running off to London to kind of, I don't know, there was all this, eventually, you know, they got divorced and she is now gay, but I had this idea for that character as well. And then I also went on a date with a girl from Slovakia, and she told me the story of going down to stay in a rural, when she was really young, going to stay on a rural estate and a pheasant shooting estate and having an affair with the wife. And I just, like, I literally woke up the next day and I was like, that's it, that's how, what I want to do. So it wasn't random that it was Slovakia, but my story doesn't bear any resemblance. I mean, that's all I got from her, you know. It was just that fusion of sort of like, oh right, that would be a really good vehicle and it would be allow me to talk about all the things that I wanted to talk about. And I was very nervous because I always thought I'd write it from Sophie's perspective, but I thought as soon as I started, I realized I wouldn't be able to generate enough sympathy for a character like Sophie. You know, it would be like, oh, poor you in your house, and then this other comes along and you sort of have an affair with her and then use her and then she goes, and it would have been a different book. And I sort of was like, I've got to write this through Mirka's perspective. And then I was like, am I allowed to do that? Is that my story? How do I make the voice and all that? And that took me a little while to work out.
It's writing from the mouse's perspective as opposed to the cat. Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, there's not that much sympathy for the cat.
No, and there doesn't have to be sympathy in that way in novels, but I'm really glad. I think I made the right decision, and I think it was the best decision.
Well, it did allow us to see, as we were talking in the beginning, it allows us to see more and plays with our assumptions, whereas our assumptions would have been, as you just said, oh, poor, you know, so-and-so, because we would have already thought that.
Yeah.
You know, so we didn't have to think that. So tell me how, because this is your debut novel, but tell me your path to writing.
I worked in television for a long time, and it's just one of those things where I thought about writing every single day. It's as long as I can remember, it's what I wanted to do, but I don't really know why, but I didn't do it. I was just really scared, and I had a job, and I, you know, every time I would try it, I thought, this must be a mistake. I don't think I'm very good. And eventually it just got to the point where I was like, I have to quit my job and I have to do this. And so I moved back to my parents' house and I did the MA at Goldsmiths, and for a year, I gave myself a year. And I mean, after a year, I was still absolutely, in my mind, terrible. I didn't have even really a short story or any, you know, nothing out of it, let alone a novel. And then I started the PhD at Manchester. And again, after a year, it all sort of went a bit wrong and I still had nothing. And I just wasn't as good as I wanted to be, or, you know, I wouldn't have wanted anyone to see anything, but I just sort of kept going, stayed living with my parents, which was fine, but it's not exactly where you want to be aged 31, watching Gardener's World every night with them. And then eventually, yeah, and then just after I left the PhD and I was in a really like, you know, I haven't got anything to show for this 2 years, that's exactly the moment that I went on this date. And then I was just like, I need to do this. And then I started writing, and I wrote it really fast, 5 months.
Wow.
Yeah. But I was like, I think it was that 2 years. I mean, I'd been practicing and practicing, so I couldn't have done it from in the beginning in 5 months, because I'd spent all that time working on my prose. Mm-hmm. And that is really important, I think.
It doesn't sound a wildly dissimilar story from somebody sort of thinking, well, I should work in TV, somebody sort of thinking, I should be married because I don't want to be, you know, I don't like the risk of being gay. And then sort of coming out as a writer.
Yeah.
You know, well, there's a similar trajectory there.
Yeah, well, I think that would be both of my trajectories as well. I wasn't married, but... yeah, I think the 30s have been a definite switch in both those fields, and it's good, but it has been a lot more difficult, but much better as well.
Mm. Yeah, getting back to the book, I was going to say some of those, just thinking Mirka's personality and coming from her experiences, because she's quite a young woman and has had, you know, we blithely say coming out here, because, you know, the biggest problem here coming out currently, and long may it continue, is internal, is in yourself.
Yeah.
And your thoughts and desires about your life and yourself and your expectations of yourself. And it's not, you know, a physically threatening thing any longer. Whereas, you know, in other cultures, that's not always the case. And she comes from a very different experience. And there's no this dabbling, you know, and it's a very...
Yeah, I think, one of the dating things that I experienced when I went on quite a few dates was there were a lot of Eastern Europeans in London, and it's a kind of haven. And I went on dates with a girl from the Ukraine, one from Russia. I know quite a lot of Polish lesbians, and it's not a good place to be gay in Eastern Europe. And they have come over here, and I think it's really wonderful and great that London is this kind of haven for LGBTQ people. And so that was a really nice thing. And but one thing, I mean, I went to, I met a lot of these people, and I also went to a book club. And I remember in the book club we did different kind of queer texts every month, and I hadn't started English Animals at this point, but I remember one of the girls saying, Oh, you know, gay fiction really has to get beyond the coming out narrative. And I was like, oh, what do you mean by that? And she was like, well, most gay novels are essentially about like that struggle, the internal struggle. And so when I wrote English Animals, I wanted that not to be the case for Mirka, especially. It was just like, that's a given. She's a lesbian, and I didn't want that to be the plot.
Mm-hmm. We're not questioning that.
Yeah.
Assume is read, yes, and which it definitely reads as that. But it's also very funny because, you know, I guess sort of a stereotype of mine of Eastern European is this, you know, very cleanly, you know, cleaning, and you know she does dabble with OCD.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That she dabbles with. She's like, and walking into like what we think is, you know, like a super posh house. And they're bringing dog hair everywhere and dog food. And like, you know, and it's like, yeah, that, obviously that's posh. Yeah. Is it posh for you?
Yeah. But yeah, but I mean, my dad's reading it at the moment, and he rang me up, and he was like, the bit where the dog eats the lasagna, he was like, oh, you took that from this couple that we know, didn't you? And I was like, no, I took it from another couple that I know. And he was like, oh, I'm sure. Because we went to dinner at their house, and there was like a massive hole in the middle of the food where the dog had eaten it. And everyone was sort of eating it like that, going, ooh. But I was served it was a lasagna that the dog had taken a massive bite out of quite recently. So those things are very, for me anyway, true to experience.
Country life. Well, and how is that? I mean, you say your father's reading it now, which is, as we say, quite late in the game of you writing it. Do you have any sort of sense of, I don't know, exposing your country cousins?
No, not really. I'm not really worried. I think the only thing I'm worried, I don't want to be the person, you know, from London who doesn't understand the ways of the country. And I hope that the book isn't, you know, I don't think it's particularly judgmental on anyone. And I think, you know, lots of city people don't like hunting and shooting and fox hunting, and I would put myself in that camp, but at the same time I think that they don't understand how the countryside works. And yeah, I mean, I went shooting on one day, and I didn't get brought up in a shooting background, but I went and I shadowed the gamekeeper for a bit, and I shadowed the shooters for a bit, the guns actually they're called, and then I went with the beaters and the pickup people. And it was an amazing experience, like in terms of the amount of people that are involved and all classes, and like the people involved in it are not posh at all. And that was quite, you know, it's a real mixture. And I'm very uneasy about being judgmental because it's a big industry for them. And I don't know, but
So I was going to say, having looked into it a bit from afar, I mean, it's like anything else. It is a complex issue because it does, you know, traditional, historical, and involves, you know, the whole way the countryside works and has worked.
Yeah.
And it is cherry picking. On the other hand, you know, people, I don't like people hiding behind traditions, because traditionally we used to drown witches, you know, traditional, you know.
Yeah. Yeah,
so, you know what I mean?
There's
so definitely. Traditions do change all the time.
Yeah.
So anyway, but we're not going to solve that today.
No.
So what are you working on now? Because that was 4 years ago, and it's just, it's fantastic that it's come to fruition, and it's exciting, and it's wonderful, and a really fun read. What are you working on now? What's next for you?
Well, I should have probably written another one by now, but I went back into TV for a bit, and now I'm writing another book, and I feel like it's taken me a few sort of attempts to find what I want to write, but I think I'm about halfway through of just a first draft, and it's all set in London, and it's more about the person that I've been since the 10 years that I've lived in London. And it's kind of, yeah, it's about a girl, I mean, it's not autobiographical at all, but it's sort of more, you know, based around a woman of my age, and it's all the different relationships she has with various people in her life, a boss, a father, a sister, a friend, you know, and it's quite, I haven't really worked at the structure, but I think it's probably much closer to my life, and a lot less sort of, I don't know what the word, not fan, yeah, it's just, it's very, yeah, I wanted to write something about London as well. Mm-hmm. a love letter to London as well.
Are you feeling more confident, or do you find careful judgment, which it sounds like you approach your work with, that serves you at the same sort of level of self criticism? I don't know if I'm expressing that properly, but with the further experience, it sounds like you said you didn't have anything that you wanted, that you felt ready for other people to see.
Yeah.
With English Animals, you finally did, and it came quite quickly. But with that, your judging eye, are you slightly more confident in yourself having produced a novel and having it published, or is it the same artistic process of self-criticism and judging the work as you go?
It's a bit of both, but I mean definitely so much more confident. I have a lot more confidence because it's just amazing that, like, English Animals was this feeling where it came alive by itself, and I knew, like, there was something strong in it, and I know that I've got to have that again, if you know what I mean. Because a lot of the problem with all my earlier stuff was it was just aimless, and you don't have to know exactly what's going to happen in the story, but you have to know the core of what the story is about, so that every line is coloured by that purpose. And all my stuff that I wrote up until that point was just aimless, and so I know that I have to have that. And so obviously you have to look for that, but I also have the confidence. The biggest difference, I think, writing a second novel is knowing how much better it gets from a first draft to I'd say fifth. I had five drafts with all the edits that, you know, that went on before and after getting the publishing deal. And I would say that my first draft of this is better than my first draft of English Animals. And when I have a really bad day and I think, God, this is rubbish, which I do quite often, I think just keep going, because it was better than that first draft. Not better, it's definitely not better than the final product, but I know that I've got five drafts to go, and the first draft is so hard when you're like tunneling, you feel like you're tunneling through and making all these exhausting decisions about every single thing. And then the second draft is just already like way easier, and then it gets better and better.
Excellent. Thank you, Laura.
Thanks. Thank you.
This is a Radio Gorgeous production for Radio Gorgeous 2017. For more information, go to radiogorgeous.com.